You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand screen sector gets plenty of support and accolades, naturally, because of its proven track record of launching Aotearoa creatives into local and national success. But that's not to say there isn't room for it to up its game when it comes to the contentious area of pay equity. Women in Film and Television, otherwise known as WIFT, have this week highlighted information gathered from a series of industry surveys that have revealed the extent of the gender pay imbalance in the sector. To hear about the gap, I talked with Patricia Watson, Director of WIFT. Here we are now.
So to start off with, Patricia, we are talking about the gender pay gap in the screen industry in New Zealand. Could you give listeners an idea of what your role is at Women in Film and Television and what you do?
Yes, certainly. So WIFT is the largest screen industry guild in New Zealand. We are open to all genders. So we have a role to obviously support and strive for equality for women in the screen industry, and obviously a key part of that is pay. But we're also here to support the growth and sustainability of the wider screen industry. So we reach fairly broadly to the industry.
So you've put some research out recently revealing the extent of gender pay imbalance in the screen sector, which we might mention is one of New Zealand's most successful sectors. Can you tell me some of what you've found?
Yes, well, I was inspired to do this by the results of the census, the last census. I had a look there at the gender pay gap. And, you know, because people always talk about gender pay gaps in an industry, but you actually need to prove that that is so. So I used the actual incomes, total incomes that people had earned in the screen sector. And that includes all work that they do. So they might be pulling coffee for half the time, but that's included in their total income. And there was a very clear gender disparity, with 40% of women in the industry earning less than the minimum wage, and 28% of men. So that's 25% of men. Which isn't great either. It's really not good, especially when you consider that in the screen industry you work a 50-hour week. So that really makes the figures particularly poor. So having determined that, the question then was where and why, which is trickier. So we ran a survey, three surveys out through the industry. All the guilds promoted the surveys, so everybody got behind it, which was great. And we found that there is, on average, I would say about a 20% gender pay gap. We've got it actually broken down by craft, so rather than across the industry. But looking at the figures, there are some truly terrible figures. The worst one, by a long shot, is for women in camera, who are earning less than half of what men in camera earn. And that is with comparative data. That is with more men than women answering the survey, which one would expect, which is great that the men engage, because, of course, there are less women working in camera in the screen industry. It's hard to break through. And it's also with women working, you know, for many years in the industry. It's not that the women were a bunch of newbies and the men were all very experienced. Didn't work like that at all, and they'd all worked on similar styles of jobs. So there was no clear reason or acceptable reason why that should be so.
And that's
a big piece of work to come.
I guess that's the question that comes out of this data, and it's a very tricky one of what is and what isn't causing this pay discrepancy, because we look at the Ministry for Women's data on gender pay gaps, and it's very much a reality across most sectors. But something like a 53% pay gap in a camera department is pretty significant compared to other sectors. Do you have any inklings as to what might be impacting that?
Well, some of it may come down to the fact that there is no pay transparency in the screen industry, and it is an industry absolutely full of freelancers, many of whom sign confidentiality agreements, so they don't talk about their pay. So if you enter the industry you're hard-pressed to get someone to tell you what you should charge for your services. Mm. And you know, Frances, there's plenty of data out there about how women undersell themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, have to justify their existence. I do it myself. I find myself doing it. I want to bash myself around the head when I do it. And men are a lot more confident when they go out there. So when you have no clear information, you probably undersell yourself as a female. So that will be a good part of the reason, I think, a lack of transparency. And then there's got to be a bit of a boys' club.
Yes.
In here too. There'd be no way of getting around that, really. You know, there is a bit of emotional blackmail that goes on when women try to increase their rates too, which isn't great. You know, they can be seen as troublemakers when, in fact, all they're trying to do is get a decent rate for themselves.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Lack of negotiating skills across the board, from the people doing the employing and the people being employed, probably another issue in the screen industry, because you do come into it without any training, without any business training. You might have training in your particular craft, or, you know, being a director or a writer or a camera operator, but you don't have any management training.
Mm.
And you never really get it, so that's problematic.
Do you think that something that we could bring into education when folk are learning their craft to come into industry? Do you think there's a necessity of teaching those that will end up freelancing? I mean, that's how the industry works, a lot of it. How to operate as a business, as a person?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Frances. I think that's a key thing that is missing in all training. And the courses, rightly, I mean, they're there to teach their craft, and they feel they don't have enough hours to do that. But the big problem is people coming out and not being capable of seeing themselves as businesses and running themselves as businesses.
Mm.
So yes, I think there should be some a compulsory element of any screen industry course, which is about setting yourself up as a business, because that's what you're going to be doing. And basic tenets of being able to operate effectively as a business. Yes, let's, you know, change the system.
And I think we can extend that a little bit further to basically all creative arts and industries. There's a lot of unpaid work that happens,
yes,
across the board, which is true of the screen industry as well, and some of the stats you've put out speak to that. Do you think that also perhaps feeds into this pay imbalance?
Well, it certainly feeds into the bottom line, yes, and women do tend to do more unpaid work than men. Yes, that's what the stats have shown here. I mean, it looks like a lot of people do unpaid work, but the rate for women is higher. And again, women try to be helpful, I think, and collaborative, and this is a bit of an end result that, yes, too many people work for no money. There's also a problem with budgets, of course, and what happens is people start making a short film, for example, run out of money, and then have to try and complete the film by relying on the kindness of others. And the kindness of others does, obviously, looking at the results, tend to come more from women than from men.
Mm.
And, you know, that may be because more women are making short films. It might just be an accident of statistics. I don't know. Don't know the answer to that at all.
Yes,
so
that's causation, correlation thing, which no doubt will be your next steps of working out, you know, what are the drivers behind this. So it's not good news, but it's not necessarily unexpected news, looking at the industry around us. So whose responsibility is it to make changes in light of what you've found?
In the end, it's the producers and the heads of departments, the people who actually do the employing. And I don't believe it shafts back straight to everybody needing more money. I believe that some people are going to have a little less so that other people can come up to an acceptable standard. So I think there has to be a balancing out, and there has to be a clear determination to correct this imbalance. So it was, I only put that data out recently. Yesterday I was talking to a producer who's on a film now, and they said that they, having seen the survey results, made a point this week of going through their budgets and trying to identify where they were contributing to the gender pay gap and making a determination that they would not be party to that and would make sure that, even though it would be difficult, that they had gender pay balance within their production. And that's what we need, lots of people to take it very seriously and step up and show that it can be done, but also step up for their own good and for the good of the people that are working for them. So, yeah, it does come back to the people doing the employment.
Yeah.
Quite clearly. There's a limit to what I can do. I can shine the light on it.
Yes.
And we can identify issues and try and gather more information. But in the end, we're not producers ourselves at WIFT, and we can't fix it. We need the industry to fix it themselves and take it upon themselves. That includes the men. I mean, I say, look, do you really want to be party to an industry where your daughters or partners or mothers may be working in it and you've got these terrible imbalances?
Mm.
I mean, why would you want to do that? I don't think most people would find that acceptable.
And then giving, in your sharing of this data, you empower men in industry to make that decision because they have that information in their hands and can say, oh, maybe we should be doing something about this.
Yes, correct.
I wonder, my last question is, in the visual arts, where I am and a lot of people that we talk to on this show operate, we have arts makers Aotearoa who have a website that you can go on, you sign up to, and you can go on, and there are industry base rates for different crafts. Is there anything like that in the screen industry? Obviously tricky if you're signing NDAs, but is there something like that does exist?
Yes, there is, in particular crafts. For example, the Directors and Editors Guild has rates up on their site, and the only area where we report equality was for directors. And there's anecdotal evidence that people have been using the Directors Guild rate card. Most people are employed in crew, and the Screen Industry Guild, or the Screen Guild, has now put up a rate card of soft rates, and that is, they're still in development. They have been gathered by individual crafts. So, for example, the costume makers have put in their rates, and the makeup department have put in their rates, and lighting and camera have put in their rates. There is a flaw in that everyone's done it in isolation, which is the only way it could be done. It's very difficult to gather that information. But I've had an overview, a look at the whole thing, and I have just, in fact, emailed all the members to say, now, here's where the anomalies are, and here is where these matters are being enshrined. For example, a COVID compliance assistant is earning more than a senior hair and makeup artist when you look at the rates, because of the way the data has to be gathered. So it now needs further examination, and it needs people in the industry to look across the rates and then send in their corrections and input into this process. And yes, because it's key, you look at all of the established male-dominated rates, and they are much higher than the female-led roles. But some of that's historical too. You know, women in costume have always been battling for better rates. You know, I mean, they are underpaid. A costume designer should not be getting substantially less than a production designer. Well, they shouldn't be getting less at all than a production designer. Yet they do. This whole thing of women's talents, you know, someone sitting there with a sewing machine is obviously easy. Well, it's not easy, and it is a real craft to be able to create costume at any level, and it's undervalued. it is.
Yes, and crafts that are at risk of being lost if we don't value them properly. Which puts the future of, you know, the screen industry, not in jeopardy, but in jeopardy of not producing the best work that it can, you know, if we're not attracting the best talent.
That's right. Yes. That's right. You know, it's wider than the screen industry, that sort of undervaluing of women in those crafts. I mean, you look at all of the designers who are having trouble keeping ateliers with craftspeople in them. You know, a lot of crafts in fashion are a dying art, and this is just, you know, well, you always will have to have costume, but you need to value it a lot more highly.
That was Patricia Watson, Executive Director of Women in Film and Television, speaking with me about the gender pay imbalance in the industry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.